rid of that. There you go. Right, well, everyone's just moving out. Let's just pray. Father, we just thank you for this morning, Lord. Father, we just thank you for that gentle spirit that was here. We just thank you. That was a time of reflection, a time of just focusing on you, Lord. And Father, I just pray that you'll be with us the rest of this time, Lord. And Father, we'll just know your presence with us. So Father, just bless your word this morning, Lord. And Father, I pray, Lord, you'll just give us ears to hear, Lord. Amen. It's interesting, there was a song there that I haven't heard for a while that Steve led us into. And it started on Psalm 42. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Is that what we're like this morning? I always remember when I was, I don't know how old that song is. It's probably back in the, I don't know, the 80s, 90s, maybe, something like that, 80s? Yeah, I'm showing my age now, really, aren't I? So, and that was a song that always really used to speak to me. You know, it was a worship song, you know, back in the day, as they say, isn't it? Back in the day. And it really, you know, when I heard that again, it lifts your spirit, I think. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Does our soul thirst for God? That's the way it should be. Anyway, that was just a side note. I'm not going to speak on that. But anyway, I wish I was. Maybe another time. In Life Group last week, we did a sort of section of Scripture where we looked at, I think we all pretty much know the story of the woman at the well, don't we? The story of the woman at the well where Jesus comes to this well. He meets this woman and basically, it's a Samaritan woman, and Jews don't fraternize with Samaritans. That's what happens. They don't fraternize with Samaritans. And a man talking to a woman at a well, that doesn't happen either. So the idea, or actually a man talking with a woman in public doesn't happen. You know, it's amazing that in those days, if you were a Jewish man, you wouldn't talk to your wife or your daughter in public. You would do it at home, but you wouldn't do it in public. So Jesus actually talking to a woman in public at a well and a Samaritan woman was just an amazing thing that was happening. And so as we've been studying that, I'm not going to do a Bible study on that because we spent a lot of time talking about that in the life group. But it's amazing how a scripture pops out as you're starting to look at things and God starts to speak to you through that scripture. And basically the scripture is John 4. Starting at verse 39, and it says, many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I ever did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days. And because of his words, many more became believers. So he's spoken to this Samaritan woman. He's then, actually, through the power of the Holy Spirit, he's had a word of knowledge. And, you know, she says, I haven't got a husband. And he says, yes, you're correct. You haven't got a husband. You've had 5 husbands. And actually, and the man you're living with at the moment is not your husband. So basically, he's given, and she's just, the Holy Spirit comes on him. The Holy Spirit comes on her. And this is a powerful interaction that they have. This is a powerful time because she knows, she senses that he's different. She senses, and Jesus reveals himself to her, doesn't he? He says, you know, if you're looking for the Messiah, I am he. You know, and so Jesus is actually, he's letting her know that there, he's more than just a Jewish guy talking to her. This is something very special going on. And because of that, she has the testimony, doesn't she? The disciples come back, she rushes off. And she goes into town, and I can imagine, because she's coming to the well, what happens? She comes to the well at noon. Women don't do that. The women used to go and get the water in the start of the day, in the cool of the day. They used to go there, that's where they used to catch up, that's where they used to have a chat with their friends, meet up. Today you go and have a coffee, they go to the well, and they have a little drink, and they have a chat. And then she's on her own. She's there on her own, at midday, but she meets with Jesus. Something far more important has happened. So she's an outcast. And I can imagine she runs back to town. She's met this amazing prophet. She doesn't really know what's happened. She's had this encounter. So she runs back. And I can imagine she's a bit of an outcast in town. So she's going, this man told me everything I can do. You know, it's amazing. We need to go and see him. You need to come and see him. The power of her testimony. The power of her testimony. Our testimony is very, very powerful. I'd sort of forgotten that, really, as I was thinking about that. I was thinking, when I'm talking to people about Jesus, in some ways you get into trying to convince them about God, don't you? But actually, our testimony is all we need. Our testimony is the powerful thing. Her testimony was very powerful. She told it as it was. She'd had this encounter with Jesus. We've all had an encounter with Jesus, or the majority of us here have had an encounter with Jesus. And all we have to do is tell about that encounter, don't we? That's all she did. She went back, she told of her encounter, and all of a sudden, they all believed her. What's going on? What's happening? And those testimonies are very powerful times. And you think her testimony changed the lives of many in that town. Because Jesus went back. He stayed with them a couple of days. He shared with them more time. And many in that town believed. It's amazing how one little testimony of a woman coming forward and actually saying, this man, he's amazing. He knew everything about my life. He knew everything that was going on. That testimony just changed a whole town. How much more can our testimony change those around us? In some ways, we overcomplicate it, don't we? We're trying to think, people say to me, oh, I can't possibly share with people. It's a difficult thing to say what's going on. But no, just share your testimony. Just share what's in your heart. We've all had that personal experience, haven't we? What I'm going to do afterwards, I'm going to ask a couple of you to come up and share your testimonies. I think that'd be a good thing to do, wouldn't it? Not lots of us, not all of us, but we haven't got time for that. But just a couple of people, just a short testimony, because they are powerful times. The disciples, that's all they had as well. They had the testimony of their experience with Jesus, didn't they? So they've gone through 3 years. They had a powerful experience with Jesus. And then they shared that testimony. And that testimony allowed them to share the gospel. Look what's happened. Small place in Israel. And all of a sudden, the gospel is all over the world just because the disciples shared their testimony. Just because God had filled them with his Holy Spirit, they shared their testimony. They shared the word of God, and that spread. And you think about, if we read through the scriptures, Paul, you know, so these are not the disciples. These are not the apostles. He's not the apostle. He hadn't actually been with Jesus. But he'd had an amazing experience. I can imagine Paul started to share that. You know, his life has totally changed. His life was totally transformed, wasn't it? And he started to share. Testimony is a powerful thing. I know when I first experienced Jesus, you know, I grew up in a household that, I mean, God wasn't even... present. Well, God was present, but actually in our lives, God wasn't present. I didn't know Jesus. Mum and dad, my sister, you know, I got to about 9 or 10, primary school, and I had a Christian teacher. So, no pressure if you're a teacher. But, all Bronwyn Harris, who I knew later on, who was my teacher at the time, Miss Harris, all she did was share the love of Jesus with us. And actually, in the class that I went to, I reckon probably half of that class became Christians. And I remember one instance, if I've shared this before, I apologize, but I'm going to share it again, because I've forgotten about sharing testimony. You know, a long time ago when I was that age and in school, And you remember those little fuzzy felt things, these boards used to get with stick things on, and they used to stay up there. You have computers these days, but... And she used to tell the gospel through little figures and stuff. And I remember once she kept on getting interrupted by it in class. And the headmaster, so she locked the door. Because she said, I'm not going to get interrupted anymore. And I can remember the headmaster looking through one of those little windows, you know, to try and get in, knocking at the door. And she wouldn't allow him in. And actually, it was that moment that actually I started to get a realization about how much God meant to her, how much Jesus meant to her. And then after that, I didn't really know about church. God was speaking to me. I didn't really know too much about church. I thought, what do I do? You know, and I sort of sensed there was something happening in my life. I sensed something was going on. So there was a little Church of England church down at the end of our road. So I just thought, well, I suppose I better start going there, hadn't I? And sort of, so it just went as probably, I don't know, 11-year-old, I would think. Remember, parents didn't go to church. No one in the family went to church. So I just started to go. Then Church of England church, I became a sort of an altar boy, I guess, and used to have that long red cassock on and the little white frilly bit over the top. And I used to carry the candle in, and I'd do all of that. And then I used to help serve communion as well. And there was about four of us that were helped doing all of those things. And through all of this, the priest there was brilliant. He was such a man of God, you know. And he just shared the love of God with four boys that were there at the time. And basically, I was sort of getting to know Jesus more through that experience. And then after that, few of the guys I knew started to go into a youth group in a Baptist church. And remember John James coming to speak here, and John came away with us down at Brunel Manor as well. And so he was the head of the Baptist Union at the time, and I went to this little Baptist church, and basically, in fact, I was talking to Miss Karen, I think she's gone up to the thing, I was talking to Karen, I think she and I were at the same concert when I was about 14 years old. So a few years later, I went to it. Do you remember Larry? Who remembers Larry Norman? Remember Larry Norman? Yeah? Again, you've got to be of a certain age to remember Larry Norman. And do you remember he used to have long, long blonde hair, didn't he? And I remember going to see him in Bristol, went over there with a few of the other guys from this sort of youth group we had in this Baptist church. And he did a call to Jesus in the middle of his concert. You know, it's basically come forward. You know, basically come forward. If you want to know Jesus, you can meet with him. And I went forward and I met with Jesus. I knew that through going to a church, but we all know that church is us. At the time, I just thought church was a building. And then I experienced Jesus. And that's a time through that youth group where many people then experienced Jesus at the time, where we saw many miracles happening. We saw God's love poured out on us. It was an amazing time. And through that, you begin to see and begin to experience, don't you, the love of Jesus in your life. A change is happening. You begin as the deer pants for water, so my soul longs after you. And you sense that, don't you? You sort of sense your soul longing for God. How do you get to know him better? How do you get to know Jesus better? So it can happen in many different ways, can't it? I just felt I was drawn into this thing. It wasn't some sort of... Some people have a big experience where they're literally in one place. They meet with God. Bang! And everything changes. Jane's testimony, I always remember, was an amazing thing that she had. You know, I was at university with Jane before she became a Christian. And then she had this amazing experience with God. And she had, for three nights, she talked with God. Physically talked with God. So she would talk and she heard God. And I remember her talking to me about this. She said, oh, isn't that normal? It's like, no, that's not normal. So you get these amazing experiences, but they're all testimony, aren't they? They're powerful testimony. We get testimony in our lives, don't we, of things that have happened. Maybe you've been healed. Maybe you've had this amazing experience how God has provided something for you. They're all testimony you can share with people. People cannot take your testimony away from you. They may want to argue with you scripturally. You may want to try and debate with people, but that isn't going to bring, well, sometimes it can bring people into the kingdom, but often it doesn't. You need to sow the seed and let the Holy Spirit water the seed. And our testimony can do that. I can imagine Paul. We all know Paul's testimony. You know, he's on the road to Emmaus. He's basically, you know, God just fall, you know, the power of God falls on him and he has this amazing experience. We don't all get that, but I can imagine Paul talking about that. The sharing of that affected many people's lives, didn't it? And there are many things that can happen to us through our journey. You know, we read in Scripture many, many times where maybe people are set free from demons. People are healed physically. Maybe you just hear about some amazing story and share that with somebody as well. That can be a powerful testimony, can't it? You can imagine that all of these things that happen in our lives, they're powerful things, they're powerful times, that all you've got to do is share your testimony. Don't try and convince somebody into the kingdom. Just share what's real to you. Share what's on your heart. Share what's there. I said I've shared with you my testimony, or a sort of shortened version of it, really. And I just felt as though I was just being led and called by God into his kingdom. And I look back on it now, and it's hard to actually, you know, I can pick out this one thing which just flicked something in me. But God calls us, doesn't he? God is calling to each one of us. And if people are looking and God is calling them, all your testimony might do might just literally just flick that switch. It might just encourage them. That's all it has to do. It's a very personal thing, but it's a very powerful thing in people's lives. God lives with us in a day-to-day way as well, doesn't he? They can be powerful. That can be a powerful thing as well. Tell people how God guides you through the day. Andy was talking about walking the dog. There can be powerful times I go out for a walk each morning. And I pray during that time. You know, and that's a good time. Prayer walking is a good thing to do. I know many of you go walking probably during the day as well. You know, there's a lot to give thanks for, isn't it? As I look around at creation, thank you, Father, for just the wonderful place that we live, the wonderful creation. But you can cry out to God in those times as well. Walking's a good time for doing that. You know, share with people those special times you've had with God. You know, this morning was a really, I don't know, it was a lovely, quiet time of being with God, wasn't it? You could sense God in this place. You could sense the Lord being here. And I think we've all got those times. We've all got those experiences. We've all got those things we can share with people. So as a church, as we're looking to go out and to talk to folks, you know, we know that meeting here will hopefully draw people in. You can see the work we're beginning to do at the centre. We're beginning to reach out into people's lives. We want to start affecting people's lives. The power of the Holy Spirit will start to do that. But we need to be prepared to share. We need to be prepared to share, don't we? We need to be prepared to share our testimony with people. That will affect people's lives. And the thing right at the end here of John chapter 4 again, this is verse 42, it said, they said to the woman, we no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard ourselves and we know that this man really is the saviour of the world. And that's what we're looking to do through our testimony. We're looking to actually just sow that seed, to actually share that passion that we have. And people will be drawn to that. Once they're drawn to that, they then can have their own encounter with Jesus, can't they? They believe because they then encounter Jesus. They believe because they've got their own relationship with Jesus, not just because of what they've seen in us. But we can be the catalyst for that change in people's lives. We can be the catalyst for that change that they need to have. It's a testimony, a powerful thing. Don't think you need to be a scholar or be theologically deep or to know the scriptures in immense detail. Don't need any of that. Your testimony is powerful enough to affect people's lives, to allow the Holy Spirit in, to change things. So I just wanted to share with that with you this morning, but I do want a couple of people to share their testimonies. I'm delegating here. But scripture can change things, can't it? It just got me thinking about testimony again and what that can mean. So don't all rush at once. I think Bill just put his hand up. There you go. So Bill's one. And is there anybody else I'd like to share as well? John. There you go. Fantastic. So we've got two. I'm afraid we could have lots of others, I'm sure, but we'll go with those two. So Bill.
Mike, did you come with us to Belfast for a Larry Norman concert? This isn't my testimony, but it's quite comical, actually. Four of us, so Mike, myself, Dave, my brother, and Dave Maguire went for a Larry Norman concert over to Belfast. And he was a proper rock and roll guy, wasn't he? Leather jacket, jeans, and so we all got the leather jackets, jeans, and bought ourselves long blonde wigs. And we were sat right in the front row waiting for Larry to come, the four of us. And we waited, didn't we? And in the end, this fellow came up and said, "I'm really sorry, Larry's had a heart attack. He's not going to be here." So we had to try and get these wigs off and put them in our pocket and sneak out. But apparently we're the talk of the town, weren't we? Trish and Malk were over in Belfast at the time, weren't they? And they said that, you know, everybody was talking about these four guys that were sat in the front row with our long blonde wigs. But it was good. He was very good, in my opinion. He was, his lyrics were, you couldn't fault. That's not my testimony. But it's not the one I wanted to share. What I wanted to just share really is my experience with regard to the Holy Spirit. I became a Christian when I was a small boy. I was in a Christian family, so fantastic advantage. But there was a time when I realized that if the Lord returned now, I wasn't going back with him. And so I had to make that decision. I made that decision, and I must have been 9, 10, 11, something like that. But from that point all the way up through, I realized that actually the Lord wanted more from me. Yes, I'd given my life to Jesus, and I knew that if he returned at any point after that, then I was going with him. I went to forestry school in Penrith, up in the Lake District. Fantastic. One of the years that we're at during that course, you go for an industrial place. You go out to an estate somewhere. I wanted to go to Chatsworth Estate. The reason I wanted to go to Chatsworth Estate is because I knew in my heart that's where the Lord would have me. Yeah, and some of you have probably heard this before, but you know, I knew that Chatsworth was the place. But those of you that know the various estates that we've got dotted across the country, Chatsworth is one of the premier estates. Yeah, it's beautiful. Ness and I went back last summer and had a time there. It is, if you've never been, I would fully recommend it. It is lovely. So, of course, the list of people that wanted to go to Chatsworth was fairly long. There's one placement. Didn't worry me in the least. I knew exactly where I was going because the Lord had said I was going to Chatsworth. And I went to Chatsworth. When I got to Chatsworth, I knew a chap named Peter Fenwick who ran a church in Sheffield. Again, the Lord told me that's where I had to go. That's where I was expected to be. So I got in my car one Sunday, one of the first Sundays that I was there, drove. I said, "Lord, I do not know where Peter Fenwick meets. I've got no clue. I will drive into Sheffield and I will ask you to direct me." I did. I drove, I parked the car, policeman walks along the side, said, "Excuse me, you don't happen to know where Peter Fenwick's church is and where they worship?" He said, "Yeah, it's just there." So I said, well, where can I park the car then? He said, what's wrong with where it is? And so when you're in those situations, you know the Lord's hands upon you, don't you? You know, you're not going to escape. Fantastic. So really, that was where spiritually I started to come alive. I had not been baptized in the Spirit at that point. And I knew, I didn't know those sort of, and I didn't use that terminology, I didn't know that sort of thing. But this is why I wanted to share this morning, because I really felt the Holy Spirit upon us this morning. And I think, you know, all of us need the Holy Spirit in our lives. Not just, you know, I believe when I was born again as a small boy, the Lord Jesus entered my heart by his Holy Spirit. But there's more. You know, there is more. And that's what I want to encourage us all this morning. And the way that the church worked there, it got so big, they ended up with three churches across the city. So there was one in the south, one in the middle, which is where I'd gone to, and one in the north. Once a month, we'd get together for a celebration meeting. During that celebration meeting, we were all worshiping, and I was just lost in worship. And then suddenly, I realized I was speaking in a different language, you know, just as we were worshiping. But actually, I'd forgotten that. Go back a couple of years, Don Lathan had prayed for me to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Nothing happened. Okay? But I didn't give up hope. But it was whilst I was in this celebration service and I was just lost in worship, which is, you know, again, why I wanted to emphasize this morning. When you're at home, when you're at church, when you're at whatever, worship is key. You know, just spend that time in worship. I suddenly found myself speaking in another language or singing in another language. I knew something special had happened. And I tell you, I couldn't stop telling anyone. And it wasn't just, you know, oh, that was a great experience. Walk out of the church service and, okay, what are we doing now? Let's do something different. My whole life was turned upside down at that point. You know, once the Holy Spirit had entered into my heart, to the degree that I knew and he was overflowing, things change. Things absolutely change. So, Stephen, you're talking about Jane having that audible relationship with the Lord Jesus. That's what happened for me at Chatsworth. So Monday morning, I'd be out and they would just tell me, right, okay, there's an area up behind the house. I can remember it now. Area of Scots Pine needed thinning. So I had to go up there and mark the trees for removal. And I'm walking through this area and literally talking to the Lord about things. And I suddenly realized that I'm marking all these trees to be removed and I hadn't got a clue what I'd done. Pretty critical, because somebody's going to buy those trees and remove them, and the head forester is going to say, Bill, I asked for a thinning, not a clear fell. So I just said, Lord Jesus, I don't know what I'm doing. You do. I trust this to you. And the head forester came back to me after and said, that's one of the best thinnings that I've seen on the estate. You know, and that is the power of God. It's nothing to do with me, but I wanted to relay that to you, because I think this morning it's important that we don't forget what God is saying to us. You know, the Holy Spirit is over us. The Lord is asking us to get into worship and to really focus on him, not focus on the things around us that don't really count, but focus on him and ask to be filled again afresh by his Holy Spirit. That's what I would recommend. Thank you.
Thanks, Bill. It is on. Forty years ago, at the December Christmas carol service, sorry, have you got that bit? Yeah. I first gave my first testimony ever, stood in this corner here, because this is where the build-up to that was not a happy situation. My wife died of cancer. I had two young children, one a year old baby and one a 3-year old, both boys. I was in tired accommodation in Warminster, so I've got nowhere to live really, and the council gave me a home, top side, St Margaret's Hill. And I had 18 months living there. I'd been a manager by trade, so I learned to manage, to look after my children, to live a life and everything else. But always there was this big empty hole. That wasn't just the losing of my wife, but it was this big hole inside which I knew was something else. My family and most of my friends lived up in the Midlands in Birmingham. But I had a couple there who were really good and close friends. And one day my friend Jeff, who's not with us now, but he shared about Jesus Christ. And I came back from there and I bought a Bible. And I read in that and time went on. And then they were visiting one weekend and we went out for a walk. It was that week before, actually, that I had actually given my life to the Lord, just by myself, children in the house. And that Sunday we went out for a walk and we passed the community centre, which is where the fellowship used to meet. And people were walking in carrying Bibles. So my friends didn't waste any time at all finding out exactly who they were and what they believed in. And the next week, I went up there. That was quite a journey, because about at least twice I turned round on the way and came back and turned round on the way, you know, this uncertainty. But I got there in the end, and soon by the time the first morning service had finished, I knew it was where I belonged. It was quite funny, actually, at the end of a service, I was sat down with the children, and there was a big queue of people going right out the hall, waiting to come and say hello to me. And for someone who'd lived by himself now for several years, it was really something. I've missed bits. Before I gave my heart to the Lord, while I was still searching, I let the Jehovah Witnesses come in. And they were giving their spiel, and one day they brought a camera and started showing me these pictures of what it was like in heaven. And there was people in white gowns and everything else. And inside I was in stitches because I just knew then, I thought, this is nothing to do what I want to do. So I told them there and then, no thank you, goodbye. Have I got a lot to go on, Steve? Or... right. So I was born again, but no one really even knew about it. And it was one day while I was at the church meeting that Angus said to me, "Are you saved?" And so I sort of asked him what he was meaning by that. And I said, "Yes, I've made a prayer of word has gone. Commitment, that's the word. Thanks, Mike." I've made that prayer. And so Angus then moved on and let other people know. And then eventually I was baptized here in the pool. And not long after that, a certain young lady came into my life. That was January this month, 82. Aren't they good? 1982. We met then. Fran Lewis, if some of you still know, invited her to a birthday party. And so that's where we first met. We got engaged in February that year. And then we got married in the May following. You might sound quick. But before, while my first wife was ill, I'd had the operation, the vasectomy operation, because they told me it wasn't safe for ever to get expecting again. And that had a 5-year life on it. And that was for it to be reversed, sorry, if you wanted to. And we were right on that 5-year limit, you know. And at that wedding, I've lost Sandra, where's Sandra gone? Oh, there she is. Sandra stood up and said she had seen a picture of the Lord with a child in each hand coming towards us. And the doctors had said to us, you know, we don't think this is going to happen. In the end, I had this reversal operation that could only join one cord. And we were past the time limit. But a year later, within 2 days of the day I proposed, our first child, Simeon, was born. A year later, due on the same date, although 3 days earlier later, 3 days earlier, Mary was born, our two children. So, you know, the Lord was so good to us and has blessed us so much. And since then, well, we know he's just with us all the time. You know, it's so blessed to walk in his path. I'm going to stop there because I'll start going around in circles. Thank you.
Thank you, John. It's, you know, you've just heard three testimonies there, mine and John's and Bill's. And ours are all different, aren't they? And they're all equally as powerful because they mean so much to us personally, don't they? You know, this is something that we can all share. We can all, people will sense the passion, the belief, the strength in those testimonies. And, you know, it's, and you can tailor them, can't you, in some ways, by the power of the Holy Spirit to the person you're speaking to. You can just shift them around a little bit and tell the key things to them, you know, and let the Spirit guide you. So anyway, thank you, guys. It's a great way of doing a talk, isn't it? I can hand over to everybody else. But God was just really speaking to me through that thing about testimony and what a powerful thing it can be. And it just really spoke to me. And hopefully it'll speak to you as well, you know. And we, you know, if you feel as though you're struggling to speak to people, you're not trying to, you don't have to know, you know, 1,000 scriptures which you can quote. You don't have to convince people. All you have to do is just share your testimony with somebody. And that's something very personal, very powerful, and can change lives. So let me finish by, should I finish up? Yeah, okay. Let's just pray, and then we can have another coffee and have fellowship together. So, Father, we just we thank you for those words from you, Lord. We thank you for those testimonies, Lord. We thank you for the way that you change our lives so profoundly, Lord. The Father, we just thank you that you're a God that meets with us individually. That, Father, you know what we need. You know how we need it. And, Father, that you just transform us in an amazing way. So, Father, I just pray that you will help us to be able to share that with others. And, Father, that you'll be with us during this time, Lord. Father, you'll lead us to the people that need to hear our testimonies from us. So, Lord, I just pray that you'll be with us at this time. I just pray, Father, that you'll bless us. I pray, Father, that those people in this town that need to hear your testimony, Lord, will be drawn to us. So, Father, we just pray that you'll be with us this week. Bless us, Lord. Father, we thank you for your time with us. And I pray, Father, Lord, as we've heard, that you're brooding over us, Lord. That, Father, you're there with us, Lord. That, Father, I pray, Lord, we'll be a people that will focus on you, Lord, and focus on the right things. Father, as you focus on us, Lord, and we know the power of your Holy Spirit in our lives, that, Father, we will be continually be changed and transformed and renewed. So, Father, we just thank you and praise you, Lord. Amen. Thank you, everyone.